Today's daf is daf vav, and we start the Gemara. Now, the beginning of the Gemara here is really interesting. I'll explain what I mean because it says as follows: Machring et solam ad kecheskato, which basically encompasses the whole Mishnah. So the whole Mishnah we just said machring et first was is you've got to keep your sulam away from the shovach of your friend. The shovach, in other words, if your friend's dovecote is near your place, you've got to make sure your ladder is a distance of 4 amot away from it. Otherwise, we're scared that it might end up being a launching pad for like a weasel stuff to come and have his lunch, and eat up all the, and you'll end up causing damage to your friend's dovecote. All the doves will be eaten. That was the point number one. The second thing we mentioned, and then we talked about dovecotes and their positions. Okay, and then it also talks about the second state case is about the fact you can't have your wall too close to your friend's gutter because he needs access to place his ladder there to clean out the gutters. So that's exactly what we said. So when the Mishnah says, "Amar Reb Elazar, hada d'tema liyamin aval b'smol zokef miyad," it's very confusing what this means because all it says this implies the din we're saying is if it's to the right, if it's to the left, you've got to put up straight away. So it's very also complicated how the Mepharshim try to even understand this. So, like, what's yamin or small? What's left and right got to do with anything? So the Pnei Moshe somehow says it's got to do with the first case about the ladder close to the dovecote of the friend. That if it's to the right, it's more hazardous than if it's to the left. It seems that makes a difference right and left in terms of the access somehow to this dovecote. I'll read inside. He says yamin hashovach, it says miuman biyoter lemiyah. It's more readily, easily available for this nimiyah, for this weasel to jump to the derech sham la shovach. If the sulam's on the left, then ein marakuchach, it's not as readily, quickly accessible. Misham lashovach, it's not considered like a direct cause. Now I don't know what should left and right makes a difference. I thought the article actually, when it brought this shita, says actually talking about whether it's the front or the back of the dovecote, like the door or the back of it. Okay, where this was, then you can understand maybe left or right in that sense. But if you even look at the Marafulda says it's actually relating to the other case in terms of the placement of the ladder towards the gutter. It says, I mean, the second case in the Mishnah. Ima maschilah mishech lotot tzad shehu yamin shel chatzero, aval mishech letzad smo shel chatzero, tzero, then harei zokef sulam shelo miyad. Now, I'm not even sure what the left and right is referring to here. So the Ridbaz, again, I'm not sure what he's saying, but the Ridbaz says actually left and right's not talking about left or right in that sense. I'll show you here. The Ribat says, Amar Balazar, how did the team elamina about small zakaviyad? Pirush. Dekaila kotel mina mizchila. We're talking about the case where you've got to make sure the wall is a distance from the gutter. That's Dalaramot. Kereshiozo kefet salam, so he's got access. Mashma implies, De ain la roshut yamut salam sham bikfiut. That since he needs access to place his ladder there, it means he can't keep it there permanently. It's only a temporary placement. Okay. Ela calls man shetzarich lenakot hamaschila, then matriach umevi. When anytime he has to clean the gutter, he has to bring his ladder out and place it and place them. We're taking him as chavakach. He's have to remove it. So how did the tamer that which only has right of temporary access, if you liked, in his chatzer to place his ladder there to access the roof? That's biyamin chatzer. What's yamin? Rotemashu kolikara knisa veyetzinecha. The yamin here doesn't mean right and left. It means like the access, if you like, the chatzer. If it's going to be hindering the thoroughfare. Let's go like that. Aval email b'smola chatzer, rotzolomar tehich b'chatzer min atzad, if it's towards the side of it, then leshol reshlut liskof miyad, then he can even leave it there. Be'yamo b'kviyut. Okay? Again, left and right is not understood as being left and right here. It's just referring to being direct access, like if it's in the thoroughfare or on the side. But again, all the parishioners seem to be a little bit. I find difficult to understand exactly what's going on when you mean in small. Okay, the seder. Let's continue. So the Gemara says, "Hachat amar chamishim ama." Oh, sorry, I missed a bit. No, I didn't. Harat amar chamishim ama, or lahana amar shloshim ris. So here, what it's referring to, our Mishnah says you've got to make sure that your shovach, that's the next case, is a distance of 50 amot from the city, because we're scared the doves will start eating. You know, if you like other people's stuff. But back in previous episode of Bava Kamma, we were talking about you've got to make sure you don't set traps within a much greater distance, shloshim ris, from dovecotes, because we're scared that people's doves will get trapped in your traps. So it says, one second, is a flight 50 amot or is it shloshim ris? How do we miyash the two Mishnahs and the Mishnah? And the Gemara explains it very simply. It says, Amrav Yosef Barbun, la'inyan lir'ot ro'eh chamishim amah. The concern of the doves causing damage to other people in terms of where they're going to pick away and eat other grains, that usually the doves don't do very far from home. That's when chamishim amah, if it's got access to it, right? However, lifroach, but they might go on a little spatzir, if you like. They might go, they fly much further. So therefore, if you're setting up traps and you don't want to cause a hazard to other people's doves, you've got to make sure it's a much greater distance away. Okay, they might fly further, but where they end up sitting there and picking at the ground, that's much closer to home. Okay, that's how we explain the two different Mishnahs. Next case. Nipol anim tzabato. So nipol here refers to a small gozal, a small chick, that seems to have, like, we don't know what the story is. Did it escape the dovecote? It can't fly yet. It can't move very far. What's the status with the chick? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, sorry, if it's found within chamishim amah, haresh el bala shovach. The assumption is it came from the closest, that dovecote. In other words, if the dovecote within 50 amot, it's close to one. Chutz, if it's beyond that, harei zeh shel motzo, then really it could have come from anywhere. And then if you find it and it's hefker, you can take it. Well, it is hefker. Nimtza ben shtei shvachot, if it's found between two shvachot, then karol v'zeh shelo v'lezeh shelo. Whichever one it's closer to, that's where you assume it came from. Mechetza, if it's right in the middle, then shneim yachloku. Okay. Now the Gemara says, nipola nimtza b'toch chamishimah. This is another Gemara. All these dimensions of 50 amot and things like that, that's only if there's no road being mafsik. However, if there's a derech rabim, if you like, that's a road that's going within 50 amot from the shovach, and there's a little chick, if you like, on the other side of the road, then we don't assume it came from that shovach anymore. The Gemara says, so now going back to connecting Bava Metzia now to Bava Batra. So Hadi Mehishim Shnaim. We just learned from here that if someone finds a chick between two different dovecotes, Mashma, and we said it belongs to either one of them or they share between the two of them, Mashma, that it's not Hefker. You're Chayv Lachriz. Okay? That if you find it, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to one of those two people. However, so therefore, in the case where it was a shared chatzer with two different people, and an item's found, and you find an item there, then also it won't be considered, the owner's not going to be miyayesh. Because his assumption is, if you remember, we learned this back in Bava Metzia, the assumption is that, well, only other one other person lives here, shares this place with me, so therefore, I know where to get it from, or if he finds, he's going to return it to me. So he's not going to give up hope. However, that's what we said. But we can learn from that case, because we said in the case where there are three people, and the person doesn't know if he drops something, and he doesn't know which of the three he's going to be able to get it from, meaning assuming now it's something that doesn't seem and things like that, then he's going to be miyayesh. So too in our case, if you find a nipol, this little chick, amongst three different dovecotes, then we say in that situation it would be hefker, right? You can take it. So another two sugyos learn one from the other, because you were mixing in yush as well with respect to these two different cases. Okay, this is now halacha zayin. Machakin al alamin ha'ir. You've got to keep a tree a distance from the city if you're planting trees of 25 amot. Why? We'll discuss that in the Gemara. V'charuv v'shikmar. A carob and sycamore tree, these are much bushier, and therefore they have to keep them distance of 50 amot. Avashul says, no, kolyan sarak, if any tree that's non-fruit bearing also has to be 50 amot. Now, what's this distancing? It's tempting to explain it, but the Gemara itself has a suffix around it, so that we'll wait. So, ima'ir kaman, now, in a situation where a tree is within that space and it's meant to be, re and it can be removed, Ima'ir kadma, if the city preceded the tree, then kotsets, you just simply cut that tree down. What are you doing planting this area? You're not allowed to plant in this area. So if ain't on the dam, you don't have to pay the person. Bima ilan kodem, if the tree preceded it to the city, then they'll have to compensate the person for clearing this space. Again, we're not so clear why we're clearing this space, but we'll get there. Kotsets for no ten dami. So safek ze kodem safek kotsets ain't on dami. If it's a safek and that's it, then we say simply they cut it down and they don't have to pay him back. Okay? Fine. The Gemara now says, the Mishnah says, sorry. Machin et goren. What about threshing floor? If it's a goren kavua, if it's a fixed threshing floor. Now, the way the Mefarshim explain it here is a fixed threshing floor is where there's going to be lots and lots of product there. And therefore, when they do the winnowing, it's going to create a lot of chaff. it's going to blow it away. If there's small amounts, not worth it, and then just the regular wind that blows is going to blow it away, and it's not going to produce a lot. So Marchina Goren Kavua Mina Ir, Chamishim Amayv. So therefore, if it's a Goren, you've got to make a distance from the city 50 Amot. Why? Because of all the waste product from the threshing is going to affect the city. So Lo Yotzer Kavua Batoch Shelo. And if you're going to make a goren within your own property, you've got to make sure that Ken, you've got a distance of chamishim ma'amah l'kol ruach from your neighbors, because again, you don't want the winnowing to actually cause a hazard to your friend's property as the wind blows all the waste product away. Because it says machin, and this is the Bavli explains, is explaining it, because the concern is that if you have the goren too close, that stuff that goes will end up coming on, going onto their plants or onto their plowed field, or trees, actually, plowed fields, and that will be damaging. Okay, so let's look at the Gemara now. Machina. So the Gemara asks, what is the reason why we have to distance trees from the outskirts of the city? Is it because ma'afil, because it creates too much shade, or mishum she neora? Or is it because, like we've discussed back in Sefer Reuven, I believe, that it's beautiful a city for it to have an empty space as you approach the city? Okay? That there's an inyan of having an empty space. So is it because of the noi, or is it because of the shade? So what's it in? So mayim mafkimina, what's a dafkimina? It says, ha'amid batoch shelo, in other words, if it is by your place and shading your place, then in time mishum, so how do. So, shelo. Then, what difference does it make? It's shading your property. You can't tell them. So, therefore, they can't clear it away. Again, your house might be on the outskirts of the city, and you've got these big trees that you've planted just outside the city. It's causing shade to you. It's bothering me, not bothering you. So, you can't kick me out. You can't cut the trees down. If it's got to do with the actual beauty of the city and the approach having this expanse before it, then it doesn't. Then it's nothing. And it's nothing to do with shade. Then we say mishum ne'o, even if it's by your, if you like, property, then we'd still clear it because we want that nice expanse as you approach the city. Fine. Let's continue. There's other things that presumably, well, it comes to nevelot and nebruski, they smell. So you want them at a distance. Again, nevelot are just literally carcasses of animals. Burskis is a tannery, or kvarot, we know what that is. It's a cemetery. That's got to be a distance of the city 50 amah. The enosim bursiki ela mizrach ha'ir. And if you make a bursiki, you can only make it towards the east side of the city. Why? Because that generally the east towards the east side, those east winds are lighter, generally, unless it's mishum paranot. Other sides of the city, we're concerned that the wind's going to bring all that stench towards the city, and it's going to be having an impact. Rabbi Kiva Omer, so you can make any side, chutz mina ma'arava, except from the west side, because the west side is the strongest winds. Therefore, and nonetheless, it's still machik chamishim. I still got a distance it from 50 amot. Okay, I think that's how you explain it. Okay, let's continue. Mara says now, machik. Rabbi Abel says, "B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, am makom shu'usah geled." So what we're trying to understand, Yashar the Marfulda here, he says, "Dekashelei kivan shu omer ve'enosim bursuki ela mizrachayir." Since it says you can only make a bursuki towards the east side of the city, shemasaye lo reach ruach ma'aravit, because of the west winds are going to assist it, if you like, limnoa hareach ra minayir. Okay, so again, the first shita is the bursuki has to be on the east side because the west winds will basically stop the stench from coming, because generally there's a strong west winds and it will make sure the wind doesn't come towards the city. And if it's even an east wind, it's usually very light, as we said. If that's the case, lama tzarich l'archik min ha'ir chamishim amal. So in other words, if you've got some sort of, what's it called, meteorological assistance here to prevent any stench, why do I need to have a distance of 50 amot from the city at all if it's on the east side? So he says, "Lachen amar time b'darachaka." So we've got another reason for the darachaka. Mishum she'osa geled, meaning shukolef shama or abdo, because they're flaying the animal, they're tanning it. Umishum shemalacha bzuya marchik chamishim amal oyair. Ah, so what it's explaining here is there's a second consideration. This type of activity is not really pleasant to have going on at the entrance of a city. So therefore, let's have it a bit of a distance as well. So other than the stench issue, there's also a beauty issue. That is the opinion. That's the first opinion. That's Rabbi Aval. The Beit Rabbi Yannai says, Al makom she'omer reyach, which means that it seems to be that still we're worried about some sort of stench. So the Taniken, as it says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, the Taniken, I'll just remind says, Matnitin amraken shum mishum reyach ra, the whole thing is a stench. Mishum burski mareach tfei mahani, since a burski produces a strong smell, alken ein lasu b'shumtza, you come in any tzad ela mizrachit, v'tam da'amra mikom makom, nonetheless, you still need 50 amot. Dim leken af zela mahani. In other words, it seems to be that our assumption was, the assumption of the question was, if it's on the east side, the winds are going to make sure that the stench won't be felt. So one understanding is, so why do I need to have any distance of 50 amot? First answer was because it's not so pleasant to have this disgusting activity going on towards the entry of the city. Second understanding is, no, even still, it creates such a stench that even if you've got all the winds in the world helping you out, still you need a distance of 50 amot from the city. Yeah, fair. Okay. As it says, "V'taniken Rabbi Kiva omer l'kol ruach u'osek omachi chutz min ha'maravah mipnei shu tadira," meaning the ruach is more tadir. I'll just read a bit more in the Marafolda. It says, "Baruach mishar tzadim, aval shar tzadim she'enam tadir mani achraka," meaning the other side seems to be it's okay as long as they're 50 amot. It's only from the west side that he was concerned. How is the umid Rabbi Akiva nishma lehu l'rabbanan from Mikiran says Rabbanan demeshuach reyach ra, that we can understand the real thing that's underpinning the whole mission is because of the stench. Delo pli b'tama davar ella the Rabbanan sabi delo mahani charka b'shat stadim chutz mi mizrachit. In other words, that the only debate is not regarding the time why you have to move it, just what's going to be effective placement of this thing, these bursaki, that it won't actually create a stench. So you see, the whole point of this is to show that what's underpinning the whole Mishnah is stench. Okay. Rav Mana says, Havalei mahalach im muchei shchen. Rav Mana used to happen to be walking along with a muchei shchen. These are people who are riddled with boils and disease. Amalei avoy, his father says, Lo tialech b'midincha ela mimaravata. Don't walk on the east side of that individual, rather walk on the west side of it, because he is concerned that the winds that were blowing across will end up, he will end up being affected by the Mukhei Shechin as if he's like downwind from them. That's why he says that it relates to this whole inya. Okay, let's continue. It's now halachatet. Machakin et ha-mishra min ha-yerek v'et ha-kreishim min ha-betzalim v'et ha-chardal min ha-dvorim. So here we're talking about other things. You've got to be careful when you're placing certain items because you might be damaging your friend's property. So one is you've got to make a mishra, that's where you soak flax. It has to be at a distance from vegetables. Kreishim is leeks, has to be a different distance from betzal and onions. And chardal, if you have mustard seed, you've got to be careful that it's a distance from your friend's bees. We'll get to that in a second. However, Rabbi Yossi says, matir bechadum comes to the mustard's different, because you can say, well, what damage is being done is when the bees come and take from the mustard. So keep your bees away from our property. Like, that's kind of the debate. I think we've seen this discussion in much more detail than previously. But anyway, it doesn't bring it up much more detail here. Let's continue. But we've got a bright that says the opposite. Our Mishra says you've got to distance creation from Batsalim. You've got a bright that says the opposite. It's Batsalim you've got to keep away from a creation. So I'm Rabbi Yossi Barbun. So this is not necessarily a kasha, the way Rabbi Yaakov and Dusai is saying. He says, the fact that Mishnah plays it one way and the Breitah says the other way means they're both damaging to one another. So therefore, it'll depend if someone neighbor wants to plant Kreishim, one wants to plant a Betzalim. Depends who's there first. The other party has to keep what his sug away from the other, because they both can be detrimental to one another. Okay, let's continue. Ravel says, B'shem Rav Yosef ben Chanina, so what this is referring to is what's the damaging of charv, of this what's of planting mustards near dvorim. That is because he says that because they get from having the mustard seed, it affects the bees, makes it sharp, for example, and end up destroying the dvash. I'll read the marfal. This is not destroys it. Not that it destroys the dash in its production, but he says umachrivot hadvash kedei lamatek bihem, because when I have the mustard seeds, it seems to impact whatever happens, they end up consuming some of the honey to mamtik. Okay, now again, I don't understand how this necessarily biologically, but the way he explains it is because they had because it's a bit like, I don't know, someone eats hot food, you nearly quickly have to have a, you end up drinking lots of water to wash it down. Okay, sounds like here what happens is that the dvorim with the masad, it's chad, it's sharp, and they end up consuming and destroying some of the dvash to, as we said, kedele matek pihem, to sort of sweeten their mouth. Yeah, if bees have mouths, but that's the idea. Okay, beseder. Have a good day.